Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Thanks so much for listening to Simon Parks last hour. I really appreciate it. We had some technical difficulties, but we got them fixed thanks to Eric's wonderful help. Twice next year, I wanted to tell everyone, from January 23rd through February 7th, 2020, and May 17th through June 5th, 2020, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll also be visiting Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac, the Puno and Nazca lines in the Paracas area, which has a hybrid museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. It's a fascinating place. The trip should be really out of this world. The cost is only $497 with airfare and accommodations extra. Accommodations are reasonable there. They cost maybe between $7 and $30 a night, including some meals. Psychic classes will also, readings will also be available. And I hope you can come. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. It's a beautiful place. Mount Shasta is supposed to go into the fifth dimension by June or July of next year, of this year, actually, and we will be there when it has shifted into the higher dimensions. So the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth should be walking around us, among us, during the when we're there. So I hope you can come. It's just $200 per person, includes free camping. And if you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. This segment is probably one of the most important shows I've done ever done here on the show, on the program, and it's an intention experiment and prayers for Australia. And I have with me, as part of this program, important program, Michiko Hayashi, who's the global director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. Michi, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Ted.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm so glad you're here. And
thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you could come on. We're going to be adding Angela Light, a wonderful shamanic healer, going on to do some prayers, and Marie Thompson from Santa Barbara, who's in touch with the Pleiadians a little later in the show, but I wanted to put on Michi first. It's also to honor Dr. Emoto, because back on July 25th, 2014, I did a joint intention experiment with Dr. Emoto, where we did prayers and sent love and light to the Israelis and the Palestinians for a 12-hour ceasefire back then, to exchange food and medical supplies for the wounded in the Gaza Strip. They were fighting at the time, and within just a few hours after our intention experiments, the Israelis and the Palestinians spontaneously agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies for the wounded. So our intention experiment worked, and I'd love to have this intention experiment work today. Nearly 500,000 animals have perished in the fires in Australia. Nearly the entire country's aflame. I know there's many people listening today from Australia. I've also seen evidence of particle beam weaponry being used in Australia. There was a case last week where 50 fires all started at once in the state of Queensland and Australia. Physically, that's impossible. Didn't seem to be natural. It seemed to be as a result of particle beam weaponry once again. If you'd like to help out, St. Vincent de Paul Salvation Army, and there's also an Australian disaster appeal. If you look on my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, it'll be updated by tomorrow with these different relief agencies, and you can make a donation as little as you like or as much as you want. People are without food, shelter, and water now in Australia, they need help. And so I'm so glad, Michi, you could come on today. Tell us a little bit about what you do, and I'd love to have you do some prayers to help bring rain to Australia.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, what I do is, of course, the Emoto Peace Project is the project that Dr. Emoto started in 2005, and ever since then, I succeeded his project, and I have been trying to spread love and gratitude through the book called Messages from Water, where we teach everyone how we are water, how this planet Earth is covered with water, and so how we can heal ourselves, our environment, this Mother Earth, with love and gratitude. That's mainly what we're doing. And I know love can overcome anything. Mm-hmm. And right now, what's happening in Australia is, well, there, I'm so sorry, this has been a big problem and disaster in Australia for all the people, for all living beings. They have been killed, destroyed, and that's a fire. Fire is a yang energy, and water is yin energy. Mm-hmm. Because of this yang energy being so strong, this has been spreading, and now what they need is water, yin energy. And we can do that with love, and we have to have pure intention with love to help with these people and these places. And I would like to do the water ceremony with everyone with pure intention. Great. And that's what I would like to do today to help.
Great. Let's start it now.
Well, see, what is, it's not just that place in mm-hmm. Australia, because this Mother Earth is really, we are all connected. Mm-hmm. That means we are just one. And what happened in 1997, when Dr. Emoto started to do the water research, what he was doing, this is really extremely important for everyone to know, because when he started to do the water research in the office, what he did was he took some of the tap water to test what kind of poison or toxins the water has in a tap water. And every day there's a slight differences in like aluminum and other like iron toxin and all that. But one day the whole number of data went boom up. He didn't know why that happened, because mm-hmm. nothing really major happened in Japan, in Tokyo, in his office, in his family. But that day was the very day that Gulf War started.
Oh, wow.
So energetically, that negative energy affected what came to Tokyo, right. The other side of the earth. Came to Tokyo, right. Energetically, oh my goodness. That was destructive. Right. So what I would like to say is, it's not just in Australia. It's what is happening in that area, in one place on earth, is what is happening in our area, your area, because we are all connected, this Mother Earth. To us, it's really huge, because we are looking this Mother Earth from our point of view. But when we look at the Mother Earth from the universe, it's such a small, tiny bacteria or tiny, tiny, tiny thing. We are one. So we have to heal, help each other. We have to heal ourselves. And only love can do that. We want to do that. Okay. And I know we can do it.
Right, right. So, okay. I'd love to have you start your prayers. That would be great.
Okay. All right. I will hit this 528 hertz at the beginning, a love frequency. Okay.
All right.
Let's wrap Australia, especially those places, with wildfires, mm-hmm. with iridescent rainbow mist, and shimmer those places.
Okay.
And visualize the beautiful Garden of Eden. Okay?
Okay.
Water and Mother Earth, please repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Water and Mother Earth, we're so sorry.
Water and Mother Earth, we're so sorry.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
Water and Mother Earth, we are so sorry.
Water, Mother Earth, we're so sorry.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
Water and Mother Earth, we're so sorry.
Water and Mother Earth, we're so sorry.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
And please see a blanket of moisture, water over Australia.
And please
and visualize.
And please see a blanket of water over Australia and visualize.
And wrap it with love, pure love and golden light.
Wonderful. 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 I have some, Nitya, I have some special water music that I downloaded today. And Eric, if we could play a minute or two of that, then I'm going to bring on Angela and Marie as well, bringing in their own special talents. But we're going to join forces together.
Okay.
That's nice. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that.
And well, thank you so much. That's really nice. That's what they want. They need.
Right. Exactly. Mitchie, I want you to stay on, and I want your energy to coalesce with the other two guests I'm going on bringing on now. I want you to add to it.
Everyone
to visualize rain coming everywhere around Australia, putting the fires out, helping both the people and the beautiful people and beautiful animals of Australia. So we can, and I know we can do it. I know we can stop these fires now with rain. We can make the rain through our own thoughts. I know it's possible. And at first, I'd like to bring on Angela Light from Friday Harbor. She's a shamanic healer who's trained in Peru. And Angela, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, Ted. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, sure. Second, I'd like to bring on, if it's possible, bring on Marie at the same time. Marie, how are you doing from Santa Barbara, California?
I'm doing great, Ted. Thank you for having me. Hi, Angela.
Hello, Marie.
Yeah, and Michi's on the phone too, on the line too, from Tokyo, Japan, with the Emoto Peace Project. She just did a beautiful water prayer to visualize water in Australia, rain in Australia.
Hi, Angela. Hi, Marie.
Hi,
this is Michiko.
Michiko. Yeah. I heard that, and it was beautiful. Absolutely
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know we can do this, my friend. So, Angela, you go first, and then we'll follow by Marie. Marie is in touch with the Pleiadians, and she's asked for help from them as well. I know they're going to help. So, Angela, please go right ahead.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to call in sacred space for all of us. This is a sacred circle. It's a time out of time, and I ask all the listeners to come into this sacred space with us. To the winds of the south, Sachamama, great serpent, wrap your coils of light around us. Teach us to shed the past the way you shed your skin, to walk softly on the earth. Teach us the beauty way.
Could you please speak up, Angela,
yes.
A little bit? Thank you.
To the winds of the west, Odorongo, Mother Sister Jaguar, protect our medicine space. Teach us the way of peace, to live impeccably, to live beyond fear. Show us the way beyond death. To the winds of the north, Siwakente, sweet royal hummingbird, show us the way of the epic journey. Teach us to trust in the nectar of life. Remind us of our innate power of divinity. Grandmothers and grandfathers, ancient ones, please be with us now. Whisper to us in the wind. We honor you who have come before us and you who will come after us, our children's children. To the winds of the east, Apuchin, great eagle condor, come to us from the place of the rising sun. Keep us under your wing. Show us the crystal mountains we only dare dream of. Teach us to fly wing to wing with great spirit. To Pachamama, Mother Earth, we have gathered for the honoring of your children, the stone people, the plant people, the four-legged, the two-legged, the creepy crawlers, the finned and the furred, the winged, all our relations. thank you for how you hold us, Mother Earth. We are joining together to pray for you. To Pachapapa, Father Sun, Mama Kila, Grandmother Moon, to the Chaskakuna, Star Nations, Great Spirit, you who are known by a thousand names yet are unnameable, thank you for bringing us together and allowing us to sing the song of life. In this sacred space, this time out of time, knowing the pure loving intentions in our hearts, we are now weaving together, creating rain to pour down on all the flames in Australia. We stand together in spirit right now, feeling the joy of rain dripping on our skin. We are overcome with gratitude as the flames die down to nothing. We smell the sweet scent of falling rain upon the land. We rejoice in the beauty of the rain clouds in the sky. Our hearts leap and bloom at the pitter-patter of every drop of rain. We thank the all that is for allowing us to be a part of healing on this land. We thank the divinity, the all that is, the love from which we have all been birthed. We thank the divinity within us for all lending our soul power to the creation of this much-needed rain. And with the utmost respect, we close this sacred space, and we thank you, South and West, North and East. We thank you, ancestors, for being with us. We thank you, Caro Nation, for sharing your wisdom and ceremony. We thank you, Mother Earth. May we each learn to walk gently upon you.
Could you
thank
please
you,
speak
Papa
up?
Papa and Star Sorry. Nations for holding the space with us. And with deepest gratitude, we thank for the rain in Australia. Aho.
And I want everyone to send love and light to Australia, the beautiful people there, to all their beautiful animals and wildlife. And I want everyone to visualize hard, steady rain starting as soon as possible over all of Australia. I know that we're asking for a miracle, but our show is about miracles. And doing the impossible just takes a little longer. I know we can do it. So with your thoughts, with your good intentions, please send lots of love and light to all of Australia, the beautiful people and the animals there, and visualize rain coming down and putting out all the fires everywhere around the country. Now. And Eric, if you wouldn't mind playing just a minute of that MP3 for rain coming down. Perhaps this will help too. This is a little rain music. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. And Marie, I'd like to go to you now. Marie is a wonderful lady. She's been in touch with the Pleiadians for months now. They come regularly and fly over her house. And I brought Marie on to give messages from the Pleiadians and also ask for their help as well. Marie, hi. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Hi, Ted. Thank you. And I'm just so grateful and I'm honored to have been a part of both of those two prayers. They were just beautiful. And honestly, I don't think that I could top that. And it was so perfect because before coming on here, I sat and I wanted to, ask the questions, how can we help to stop these fires? Mm-hmm. And immediately what came in was that we needed to connect with Gaia, with Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. That we needed to connect with our ancient ancestors and that we needed to stomp our feet and create thunder, dance thunder, storms, and draw it in through the planet herself. And that through that connection, through that conscious connection, just like the ancients did and the natives do, that it would answer their call. And so both those prayers by Michiko and Angela were exactly that. Wow. That was exactly what they said, or what I felt, was the answer to that question. And and that just happened. And so I think that's part of it. I also took some video and some photos, and they appeared. I used the moon as a backdrop because we have it. It's visible right now in the beautiful blue sky. And so I always like to have some anchor or some contrast to work with. And, oh, my gosh, I just sent you, Ted, actually, a couple of photographs of a couple of gorgeous ships playing right in and around the moon. And I think the answer was yes, that they hear us.
Okay.
And yes, they will help. Good. And that we also need to connect with the earth and call in that energy and that connection and that relationship, and that will happen.
I've been in contact before with Admiral Hilarious. He's in charge of the 2 million Pleiadian spacecraft now orbiting the planet, helping us with our ascension. And I want everyone listening today to please direct your energies not only to Australia, but also to our Pleiadian friends who do have the technology to help, but they do respect our free will and the prime directive. So if you do ask them, they will help. I'll just send a mental note to ask them for help. We need it now, I know they will provide assistance. Mitchie, I'd like to have your comments as well, and then go back to Angela. And
oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't prepared, but...
It's okay.
I know that Angela's prayer was really beautiful, and it's so important that we ask our ancestors to come and help. You know, this is something that I just remembered was when Dr. Moto was alive. He said that when we kill so many animals, then after that, their spirit stays. And what happens is we have a lot of diseases, pandemic of diseases start go everywhere. It's like when we had bird flu, and we killed so many birds.
Yep.
Then after that, we had SARS. And after the World War II,
that's right,
killing so many people and animals, we had some other pandemic of diseases. So he said it's just so important to respect those wild animals and animals that they don't speak to us with our own languages, but they have their emotions, and everything that we feel is exactly the same as how they feel also. So we need to respect Mother Earth also, and we need to, of course, respect water. And so because we were lacking the respect for water, the fire came out.
Oh, I see.
The energy of fire is stronger.
Okay.
So we have to respect water and learn what water is, because water has memory. It remembers everything. So now let's just try to always be grateful to water and send love and gratitude to Mother Earth and to all beings. That's what we can do to help. I mean, we're doing this for Australia, but we're doing that to the whole planet Earth.
The other message I got last night in meditation about the situation in Australia is that we shouldn't need a disaster like this to bring people together, because we are all one with all the spark of the supreme being within us. And we need to love and care for each other every day.
Exactly.
And the animals, too, not only because there's a tremendous this tremendous fire in Australia, but also because we need to be that way here on the planet.
Exactly. And, you know, we had this huge fire in Amazon, also in Africa. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, in many different places.
Right.
And we should be learning now and acting it.
Right.
You know.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mitchie, could you please give out your website for people that are more interested in the Emoto Peace Project? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It's www.emoto Peace Project project.net.
Okay.
www.emotopeaceproject.net.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, Mitchie, I want you to stay on the line because Jerry Pollack's coming on at the next segment.
Oh, Jerry will be on?
Yeah, you may want to say hi to him, so just stay on.
Yes, I will.
Just stay on. Anyway, okay. Angela, I'd love your comments too to wrap up. We don't have much time left, but go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank Mitchie and Marie for their beautiful prayers and information and lending their soul power to creating rain in Australia. And thank you so much, Ted, for having us all on.
Oh, it was wonderful.
To do this
wonderful
experiment that is not an experiment, and miracles are really normal. It's just a word we have
exactly
used to describe them now. And mm-hmm. to remind us all that when we allow ourselves to connect with the spirits of the land and the oceans and the rivers, that we can call to them for help, that we can actually hear them. And right. and also my friend Nick and I are creating a podcast called Love and Levitation, where we'll be doing a lot of thought experiments. And one thing that we'll be doing very soon on Instagram, on Love and Levitation Podcast on Instagram, is a despacho, which is actually just a visually beautiful prayer. And we'll be doing that for the healing and regeneration of an abundant Australia for after the flames have died down.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I'll have you on another time. We can talk more about that.
Wonderful, Ted.
We have more time.
We would love that.
Yeah. And then, Marie, I'd love your comments, too, quickly. And then before I go over to our next guest.
Thank you so, so much. I feel honored, as always, to share my energy, to share the beautiful sky energy, and I love water, and yes, we need to love the water more. And I do feel that the Earth hears and responds, the galactics hear and respond, and it's going to happen. And then lastly, I do have a couple of yoga retreats coming up, one which is going to be at East Study in August of 2020. So I know we have the dates, and it's going to happen. So stay tuned with East Study.
Sure.
And also on my website, mariethornthompson.com.
Yeah, we can have you on for another time to talk about that too. So
yeah,
anyway, yeah.
Thank you, Ted.
So glad you're continuing both of your light work, and thank you all three of you for so much for coming on today. I know this will really help. And again, thanks so much. And Eric, if we could play just a minute of that water rain. Mitchie, if you could stay on, you can say hi to Professor Pollack here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Marie and Angela, thank you again so much, all three of you, for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Love you all.
All right, my friends.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Eric. As always, a great job. Thank you so much. And now let's bring on Professor Jerry Pollack from the University of Washington. Jerry, can you hear me okay?
Now you're coming across clearly.
I have someone on the line I think you know. Mitchie, why don't you say hi to Jerry Pollack?
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mitchie. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you in Japan or in Seattle?
I'm in Tokyo. I'm in Japan.
Okay.
And thank you so much for coming to Tokyo last month. It was so good to have you.
It was my great pleasure. It was really an inspiration and a true highlight in all my years. It was wonderful. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Everybody just loved meeting you and just talking to you, and loved your lecture, and we were so grateful for that. Thank you so much.
And thank you for helping to organize that event. It was special.
I came home with a grin, a
great big grin on my face.
Oh, thank you. Well, because of you, you were here. We were able to do this beautiful event. So we're really grateful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care, Mitchie.
Yeah. Mitchie?
Okay.
You too.
Mitchie, you're welcome to hang on and listen if you like. It's fine.
Yeah, I would love to listen.
Okay,
just
so you got anything to do. This is Jerry's interview, but of course you're welcome to hang on. But I wanted to tell you, Jerry, that we just had a half hour of an intention experiment to bring rain to Australia because of all the fires they've had down there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And let's hope it's successful because this weekend is supposed to be the worst.
Yeah, they said Saturday, tomorrow, I guess it is Saturday now in Australia. It's supposed to be 46 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Which is like 115 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Can you, my goodness.
Wow. It's horror. I've watched some videos showing the fires. I simply can't believe the intensity of those fires. It's really scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Well, I know that Dr. Moto and Michi have done many intention experiments, and I said to myself, well, this is a perfect time to invite her on. And actually, it turned out, I don't think, like Professor Einstein has said, there's no such thing as coincidence. So I'm glad to have you both on today, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, intention experiments are something that we're starting to do in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really exciting report that I found pretty convincing. It was at our water conference. You know, we organized, as you know, the conferences each year.
Oh yeah.
And we moved to Germany, and it was a great conference. And this year we're figuring out where to hold the next conference and when.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been some presentations by a guy named Serge Kernbach. I think you may have met him.
I did meet him.
Yeah, and so he reports. He has sitting in his laboratory.
Uh-huh.
He has a container of water, and he measures the physical properties of the water
mm-hmm.
using a technique called impedance spectroscopy. And it gives you an output. There's a bunch of wiggles that go from left to right, and those wiggles occur. The x-axis of that is frequency or wavelength,
mm-hmm.
and the other is intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets a characteristic wiggle, and if he measures it again and again, he pretty much gets a similar result.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does the intention experiment. He has someone from a distant place, pre-organized, to focus his intention
mm-hmm.
on the water in Kernbach's laboratory in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about one guy who's 10,000 kilometers away. I think it's New Zealand, but I don't remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So at 10:30 next day in the morning, from 10:30 to 11, this guy is focusing his energy or his intention on water that sits in a laboratory in Germany. And then Kernbach reports the same physical measurement after that 30 minutes of intention. And it looks wildly different.
Wow.
And I understand that he's been able to replicate this. I believe there might even be a paper out on it. And
mm-hmm.
and this is really quite amazing because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about distance, a huge distance around the Earth. And, you know, a lot of people have come to understand that the subtle energy that may be involved in this process doesn't diminish with distance or doesn't
mm-hmm.
diminish appreciably
mm-hmm.
with distance, which is what the more conventional kinds of electromagnetic energies do. They diminish with the square of the distance, 1/square of the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of attenuation that occurs. And
mm-hmm.
if you think about a signal originating in New Zealand and coming to Germany, it gets pretty weak by the time it gets anywhere near there.
Right.
And so the fact that he can identify an effect so dramatic at such a distance,
wow.
if his experiment is correct,
right.
I haven't looked over his shoulder, but
right.
I there's no reason to think it's not correct, is really amazing. And so I think that this intention action that just happened that you
mm-hmm.
tell me about on,
mm-hmm.
on your program,
mm-hmm.
it might make a big difference. So that's great. I'm really happy that you were able to organize this and get those people together.
Well, thank you so much, and I especially appreciate Michi for coming on too. Michi, are you there? Let's see. Are you there, Michi?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I had my
good.
Microphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and I know that's something, Jerry and Michi, that's something that Dr. Moto used to do too, didn't he? I mean, a little different,
right.
But he would do those kinds of experiments too.
Right. We used to do that all the time, but you know, we don't have the way to measure anything except for taking water crystals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really wonderful that that Russian scientist has been doing this intention or experiments of our intentions. And this is something that we all want to know, learn about, how powerful our thoughts and our intentions are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and yeah. I know today when we got all together, I mean, collectively, the energy amplifies, and it doesn't really matter where we are. We can just focus and then do that. And I'm so happy and grateful for you that for organizing this.
Oh, well, I was...
And Jerry, thank you so much for mentioning about this, because it's so good that people hear you talk about this as a scientist. Mm-hmm. So many people say this is not really science, but I know it works.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a problem throughout science, the problem that you bring up. And, you know, many scientists feel comfortable with the field of knowledge that they have in their command. Mm-hmm. And if somebody suggests something that's out of that frame of reference and there's no obvious explanation, the first gut reaction or knee-jerk reaction to say, well, it can't be true. It's probably wrong. And there are lots of things out there that people claim that actually are wrong. And it's really easy to do that. And I think many scientists become arrogant that way. Many people think that we're in, you know, the year 2020. We should have 2020 vision, but not sure that's always the case. And a lot of I went around in our cafeteria. I did a poll asking people, how much do you think of the science, fundamental science that there is to know, how much of that is already known? And of course, my own opinion is very, very little.
Right.
And I was kind of maybe not surprised to hear most of the people, the majority, if not, well, I'm not sure it was the overwhelming majority, but the majority of people, and they kind of focused in on a number of like two-thirds. I don't know where they got that, but a lot of people said, well, about two-thirds of everything we need to know is known. And particularly in their own field, whatever their field is, these were mostly health science people doing research, and to hear them say that two thirds, roughly, some will say 70%. If I recall correctly, I had 90%. Mm-hmm. They were all over the map, but so many of them said basically that most everything that there is to know of the fundamentals. I'm not talking about crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but the fundamentals, it's pretty much all known. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in that mindset, then somebody who comes around and suggests something that you don't know about or doesn't seem to fit the paradigm, the first response, it's a kind of knee-jerk response, is to say, it's impossible, it can't be. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate, and this is... This is a problem, in my opinion. This is a problem in science because you know, what is science after all? Natural science is seeing an observation and then trying to figure out some understanding of that observation.
Sure.
But when you take the opposite approach and you say your response to something new is, well, because it's not understandable in terms of current science, it's got to be wrong. So, quote, I don't believe it, unquote. And that's the response of many people. So I could imagine that people hearing for the first time about the idea of intention and water and even, well, water memory, information storage, that seems to many to be so preposterous that mm-hmm. it's not even worthwhile devoting any time to it and hearing more. It's just so quickly and automatically dismissed. And
sure.
And the people who work on it, the people who do it, are essentially crackpots, labeled crackpots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, Wikipedia is very prominent in so doing. I know many, you might say, alternative science scientists, people who I believe are really conscientious in searching for truth. And so far, every single person who's on that list who I checked in Wikipedia, the final paragraph or one paragraph says, well, a lot of people think that this is nonsense and it's et cetera, et cetera. They use various adjectives, but basically the take home message is, yeah, this person is controversial, whatever, but most people think it's not even worth paying attention to. So yeah. It's a pity because that's the antithesis of science. Science has got to be, you see something, you try to explain it, and that's our challenge as scientists to do that.
Right.
A lot of scientists, in my experience, their major goal is, of course, everybody wants to find scientific truth in some way, but an overarching goal is actually to keep funded, to keep money coming into the laboratory, because without money to support the people and the supplies and the equipment to run a laboratory, you can't do anything.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like being a pianist and having your two hands cut off. It's kind of hard to do it. And so we've I've mentioned to you this before about trying to do something about this. Our Institute for Venture Science.
Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, I knew you'd ask me about it, and we're making progress. We've gotten some donations, but the idea of this institute is to support people who are looking for truth, and looking for truth usually means challenging the established paradigm. Mm-hmm. No matter how badly the paradigm fits the evidence, still, most people will stick to the paradigm, and so we've created the institute, and the institute is designed to fund those people who say, "Well, you know, everybody knows that the Earth is round, is flat, but we have evidence that the Earth is round, and we'd like to pursue this because if the Earth is really round, then this is a revolution in science because so many things depend on the shape of the Earth." And if that sort of proposal goes to the standard foundations that fund science, they don't get anywhere. And the reason they don't get anywhere is that these foundations choose referees to evaluate the proposal, and they're usually experts, and the experts are the people who hold the prevailing paradigm.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, the revolutionaries challenging the king or whoever's in charge. It doesn't work so well because those are the people who have the power, and they have the power to squelch you and to deny you funds. Mm-hmm. And most every scientist I know who has an alternative point of view in science knows that they'll never get money from these organizations because this is the prevailing issue.
Right.
You're challenging the establishment. You can't get money. So we set up this institute, and we're trying to get private money. We've gotten, you know, some. We could use a lot more to begin funding some of these people. We've gone through more than 200 pre-proposals, and out of that, we selected 15 full proposals. We selected 5 of those, very thoroughly reviewed, vetted in a way that I believe no other organization does.
Mm-hmm.
Very thoroughly. We picked out 5. We have some money, but not quite enough to begin funding, and so we're looking for more. And something just happened that shows some promise. I'm going to go to Singapore in at the end of February,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be a symposium that relates to health, and they decided that they want to do something about promoting alternative ideas. And so they're proposing an Asian division of the Institute for Venture Science.
Oh,
and
nice.
as you probably know, in Singapore and through China, other places in Asia, there are a lot of wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have a symposium, and I'll be speaking, an evening symposium and dinner, to invite people to hear about the IVS and see if we can get some enthusiasm to build that contingent. And if so, I think this is going to be a great addition to the Institute for Venture Science. So we're now working on sort of shaping what that and trying to see what that might look like in more detail. So we're very enthusiastic about this this institute because it's designed in such a way to practically guarantee a success of some of these. And the real guarantee, I'll just tell you, I think you may already know about it, is if we fund you, Ted Marr, for your idea that challenges convention. Mm-hmm. We know that won't create the revolution, because people who have no confidence in your point of view, and they're sticking to the prevailing point of view, they're going to say, "Oh, Ted Meyer, he's a crackpot. Don't pay any attention." And it's really difficult for you to stand up and wave a flag and say, "Oh, no, I'm not a crackpot. You should pay attention."
Yeah.
Right. And so, mm-hmm. so in order to circumvent that, we know that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. In order to circumvent that, our intention is to fund up to a dozen different independent groups who are sharing the same vision that you may have. The Earth is actually round; it's not flat, or mm-hmm. some other field. And mm-hmm. and then it becomes difficult to dismiss the whole concept, because instead of just Ted Meyer, who's going downhill with pneumonia, it sounds like, his coughing.
A little coughing, yeah. anyway.
Yeah, and instead of Ted Meyer, it's a dozen different people who have drawn the same conclusion and have evidence from different points of view, who are coming to the same conclusion. And then it's really difficult for young people, for students and such, to dismiss these seemingly radical ideas. And I think it's going to be like a phase transition of understanding. The new paradigm will quickly gain a lot of traction, and before you know it, it's an established scientific revolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about this institute, and hopefully this is really going to make a difference. It's hard to get, you know, governments to participate in this. And my original naive idea was we could convince the U.S. government to do something like this, but, you know, as is well known, our current government is actually not very friendly towards science, and mm-hmm. so not much chance of that happening.
Aren't they funding like research into horse and buggy whips right now? I don't know, but just kidding. But anyway,
yeah.
I hope that. It would be nice if our government did fund you, but if they don't, you have to, of course, look elsewhere. I have to tell you, after I posted my show today about the intention experiment for Australia, I had two people call me basically an idiot for doing that, and I wrote them back, and I said, well, you know, I'm also soliciting funds, too, for relief efforts for the people of Australia, and that's something that everybody should support. So,
and the response? Of them?
They didn't write back after that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well,
so.
I think both of them are seriously needed. And we're actually going in my own laboratory or starting some intention experiments, because I have a sense that this is the future, and that there's a lot to be said about it. And we're going to get some healers. We already have results from one healer. Mm-hmm. And the idea... the idea is to test waters that have been that are control waters that have not received any healing intention, mm-hmm. and waters that have received healing intention. And we have already some preliminary evidence. We have one healer we've been working with preliminary results. You may know his name is Bill Bengston, and in his technique is able literally to cure cancer and. Many cases is extremely successful in mice. It hardly fails in any single mouse that has been infused with a tumor. The mice heal and they become immune. And so we've begun doing experiments, and we already have some interesting results. But it's n equals one, only one experiment. But the results are very promising, and so
Wonderful.
We're going to set up a study. We're going to involve different healers, focusing their intention, and maybe some lay people too, but mostly healers. And we're going to be investigating using five or six different techniques that we have on hand that we're preparing for this, to see if these techniques, and we already have one that seems to give a positive result, if these techniques show a difference. And these are we're making physical measurements on the water. So these are measurements that are accepted by every scientist, because they're used routinely in other applications. And so if we can demonstrate by finding in at least one or two of these attempts that there's a real change in water, a predictable and consistent change, then I think this will maybe change a few minds, or at least change the minds of those people who are sufficiently open-minded to even consider the possibility. You know, as mentioned, this is it's a bit sad that sometimes the response will be, oh, it doesn't matter what your evidence is, it can't be true.
Right, right. I'm sure Galileo had the same problems, and Nostradamus, they both, many scientists had the same problem in the Middle Ages, trying to change the paradigms, and they were put to the stake or killed or threatened, and sometimes their works were only celebrated after they died.
Sure,
you know, but you would think that we've advanced beyond that point, but you kind of
wonder. We've advanced somewhat beyond that point, so you don't get burned at the stake too often, although I must say I've heard rumors of various people who have lost their lives when they've challenged some of powerful corporations in various ways. It remains mysterious. You know, somebody suddenly had a heart attack or committed suicide or whatever. And you know, so it's not so clear. It's always follow the money. It hasn't changed, and it's because human nature hasn't changed. So people don't like to be challenged, and especially if they're in positions of power, then they have the wherewithal to do something when they're challenged, and that's when it gets difficult.
Right.
So Galileo was not, the church did not appreciate his viewpoint, so he got confined to house arrest. And that wasn't as bad as some. And now it's not quite as painful, but when a scientist loses his or her funds, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are people who are highly trained and some of them very experienced. And suddenly, if they come upon an idea and begin pursuing their idea, they're labeled as a radical, and they don't get funding anymore, and they lose their laboratory and they lose their office, and pretty much they're out. And then what do they do after that?
Dr. Simoncini in Italy a few years ago. It was and still is an advocate of using baking soda to cure cancer, and he claims that
an advocate of what?
Of curing cancer with baking soda, and he claims in his scientific research that he can cure about 80% of cancers just with baking soda and changing people's diets.
Yeah, I know. Sodium bicarbonate is very powerful, and I know other scientists who advocate pretty much the same regimen, baking soda.
And the Italian Medical Society, guess what they did? For all of his good work, they took away his medical license, but he's still running his laboratory somehow. And I guess that brings me to my next point. Could you give out your website or how people could make a donation to your institute, Jerry? You do such
good work. We would love to hear from you. And it's IV, as in intravenous science, IVScience. .org, not .com, although it might get you there, .org, IVScience.org. And on the website, there are ways you can easily make a donation, or, you know, if you want to discuss a major donation, I would be happy to speak to anybody. You can get to me through that website.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. We've got about a minute left.
And, oh, my goodness.
And time has gone by. And Mitzi, thank you so much for being on the show with Dr. Pollitt. Is there anything you'd like to say, Mitzi? Are you there?
No, I'm fine. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed listening to Dr. Pollack.
Okay.
He's just so wonderful.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Mitzi. And you owe me a bottle of sake.
I know. I will be bringing it to you. I'm keeping it here.
I'm saving my alcohol appetite. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the fifth phase of water.
I'll bring it to you.
That's the fifth phase of water. Yeah, there's fourth, and then there's the fifth phase of water, the new scientific discovery. Well,
we'll see you in March or late February.
Okay. Please send me some dates because I may be in Singapore when you're here. I hope not.
I think it'll work. The dates are okay. I'll write you today. Send dates. Okay, no worries. Well, Jerry, I hope you have a wonderful and happy new year. Thank you so much again, and Mitzi too, for coming on my show today. You're both very special, and you made this program very special for everyone. Thank you so much again.